We've been reporting all this morning about the story that our partner, the New York Times, broke last night. It's about the capture of the military leader of the Taliban, Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar. The story hit the New York Times website last night, but the Times actually first learned about the arrest last Thursday. The paper held the story at the request of White House officials. And Bill Keller, the executive editor of the New York Times, joins us now. Good morning, Bill.
Morning, Celeste.
So explain the delay. The White House called you and asked you not to print the story?
Well, actually, we called them. Mark Mazzetti and Dexter Filkins had the story pretty well nailed down, as you said, last Thursday. They took it to the White House for comment, of course, as we routinely do. And the folks at the White House said, well, hold on for a second. We need to talk to you about this. Several of the people from our Washington Bureau went over to the White House and sat down with people from the National Security Council and the press office. And they said that they were pretty sure that Mullah Baradar's colleagues in the Taliban were not yet aware that he was in custody. It had been I don't know the details of it, but they thought it had been a clean snatch. And they were afraid that once the word got out, other Taliban officials would go deeper underground or start taking measures to cover their tracks. So they asked us to hold off for a while.
Well, I'm going to ask you in a moment what went into your decision to do it as they asked. But first, let me try and get the timeline of events down clearly. Your reporters from independent sources learned about this out of Pakistan.
Yes, Pakistan and Afghanistan.
And then you went to the White House to get comment on it, and that's when they told you, we want you to hold the story.
That's correct.
Until today. Or until last night.
Until last night, right.
So why did you decide to do this? You don't always acquiesce to these kind of requests.
No, we get asked to withhold information, not often, but from time to time. Sometimes it's a no-brainer. You know, we have reporters embedded in military operations. Obviously, they don't file information that would put troops at risk. We've had other stories that were much more controversial where we decided that we would publish. This one was not, honestly, a very hard call. Obviously, we were eager to break the story. It represented a lot of resourceful reporting by Mark and Dexter. But there was no obvious public interest reason to rush the story into print. And, you know, we are responsible people. We didn't want to compromise what sounded like a potential intelligence coup.
And certainly the story retains just as much power more than a week later as it would have had you broken it right at the time. Is that kind of your thought process?
Yeah, I think that's the thought process. And, you know, what actually happened was yesterday our stringers in Pakistan and Afghanistan started calling our bureaus there and saying, you know, we're hearing reports that Mullah Baradar is in Pakistani custody. And we took that to the White House and they said, yeah, we understand. Okay, it's not holdable anymore.
Right, so you published it. Now, you visited the White House in 2006 while President Bush was in office, and you were getting ready to publish a story about domestic wiretapping. And very famously, you were told that if you published that story, you'd have blood on your hands. Was that the kind of dire warning you got from the Obama White House?
Oh, no. No. This was first of all, this didn't even get to my level. I mean, they dealt with Dean Baquet, the Washington bureau chief. I mean, obviously, if they had felt they needed to call me, I'm always willing to take a call. But it didn't even rise to that level. It was, back in 2006, the conversations were professional and civil. But in the end, when we didn't agree to hold the story as they wanted us to, it was a kind of firestorm of criticism from the White House aimed at the Times. So far anyway, we haven't had that kind of acrimony with this administration, nor as far as I know have other news organizations.
What's the kind of bar that you have to come up to in order to decide that a story is worth holding at someone else's request? I mean, do you have to check in to make sure that the White House isn't making that request for their own unspoken, selfish reasons?
Well, it's complicated. I mean, you don't want to, on the one hand, I don't have subpoena power. I don't have, spies in the National Security Agency. So knowing, whether publishing a story would actually put national security at risk is a harder thing for me to figure out than it would be for somebody who's actually in the government. But we do our best job of doing that, and we take these requests quite seriously. I mean, I think the first one that I ever dealt with was when I was foreign editor in the Clinton administration, and we learned that there was a large unsecured stash of highly enriched uranium in the former Soviet Republic of Georgia. We held that story until the material was secured. That was not that hard a call. There are others where, you know, to this day we can't talk about things that we've held out because they would, endanger agents who are working on in foreign countries.
Bill Keller, Todd Zwillick here. I want to ask you quickly just the timeline between knowing, having the story nailed down in Pakistan and revealing it. You said your stringer started to hear reports in public there that that Baradar was detained. Was the Times chomping at the bit to release the story? At what point would you have released it had you not heard those reports in public? Were you waiting from go-ahead from the White House?
Well, we were a little chomping at the bit, yes, but we checked in with the White House every day, and you know, we also checked in with our people on the ground. And when it became clear that it was leaking out, you know, the rest of it was resolved pretty amicably.
Bill Keller is the executive editor of the New York Times. The New York Times got reports about the operation that in which Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar was captured. They got those reports last Thursday. They delayed reporting it at the request of White House officials. Thanks so much, Bill Keller. Coming up, we're going to take a look at Mardi Gras music, all the way from classics back in the 1930s and 40s to the newest incarnations of Fat Tuesday soundtrack music. Remixing Fat Tuesday, coming up later this hour with Grammy Award-winning artist Terrence Blanchard.